you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. We have been on the radio here closing in on 3 months, and it has just been a blessing. We've gotten so much feedback and so many emails from people saying they use this as a jump starter for their Sunday mornings, and many that can't get to church use this as their services. I just believe that we're at a time where the truth of the word needs to be given to men uncompromised. And, you know, they're about to make some changes to the internet now where they're going to begin to edit what can be said and can't be said on the internet. You know, the internet has become so powerful that now they have to try to regulate it, and they're going to stop a lot of the preaching, a lot of the exposing things, a lot of the conspiracy things that are showing things about the government and hidden things of the government. They're going to pull all this stuff off the internet in a new internet effort that they call Internet 2. So make sure you Google that and figure out what's going on with Internet 2. As they begin to edit out some of the things that are here to help us. And you know, one thing I believe, and I strongly believe, this radio broadcast is not a substitute for fellowshipping. It's not a substitute for church. It shouldn't be, because I guarantee you, when these things aren't available, when the internet, when television, when radio is no longer available for the preachers, y'all know we're going to be right back where the apostles were, where we're going to have to spread this message by word of mouth, and we're going to have to preach this gospel, and we're going to have to tell our neighbors and tell everyone word of mouth. And that is why, you know, the MySpace, the Facebook, and these different things, yeah, they may be fun for now, but you need to learn how to go next door and talk to your neighbor about Christ. You need to learn how to talk to those workers on your job about Christ. We need to be a real church here. And I'm not talking about just a building, but we need to follow the old plan of the apostles, because that day is coming again when we are blacked out of the internet, when we don't have access to radio, when we don't have access, we'll be on a shortwave band somewhere trying to preach the gospel. And these tools, even though we can use them, they aren't God's ideal plan. God wants us in contact with one another, with our fellow brethren, showing the love that we have for our brethren by approaching them, by preaching to them and giving them the gospel. So remember, y'all, these are some luxuries we have now, but they're not going to be here long. So we need to learn how to communicate with each other, and not just text messaging and Facebooking and these things, but we need to get people face to face. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how much Christ loves them, because we want to see souls saved for the kingdom. Let's jump into this. We're going to deal with this final church, the church at Philadelphia. It's an easy church to deal with because Philadelphia was not rebuked. Jesus did not have a problem with Philadelphia. This was the faithful and holy church because they were reflective of him primarily. Revelations 3:7 starts out and says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is a very blessed writing, and I love the way it starts out. To the angel or the pastor of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy. Now we know Christ is holy. Holiness without, no man shall see him. They call churches, they say, well, that's a holiness church. Well, then what kind of church is that? Oh, that's another kind of church. No, all churches are holiness churches if Christ is involved, because Christ is holy. How can you have Christ and not be holy? And Christ will not dwell in an unclean temple. So Christ comes, cleans you up, expects you to live holy. Now, this is being neglected because we got a lot of clubbing pastors, clubbing preachers that are playing lascivious music in their churches, preachers that are secularized, trying to be the next in thing. And we have all this foolishness going on. And this stuff is not reflective of holiness. And we don't need to make holiness a denomination. You are not a holiness denomination. Or it's not a Pentecostal denomination. I know we use these titles to try to describe some of the things that go on. But, you know, bucking and shouting and dancing and playing music, that doesn't mean you're holy. That doesn't mean you're Pentecostal. Sitting back, you know, and the deacon's wailing and nobody's saying anything, that doesn't mean that you're not holy. We need to understand that holiness is just possessing Christ. When you have Christ, you are holy because Christ is holy. When you do what Christ says, you are holy. You are holiness. When you do the actions of Christ, that is Pentecostal. That's the power of God in operation. So these things have nothing to do with a denomination. These things are required by God for us to even live and dwell in this time. How can you dwell in this time without the power of God? And why don't we even expect the power of God in our churches anymore? We don't expect the power of God to even move in church anymore. All we want is a good singer, good music, and we want that euphoric feeling that something good is going on. You can do all that stuff without Christ, and that is the problem. People are having church without Christ every Sunday, every Saturday, every Wednesday. They are gathering together because they're supposed to gather together, and Christ has nothing to do with it. Many of you that are listening to me, you go to churches that Christ don't go to. And if you go to a church that Christ doesn't go to, then you don't have holiness. Then you don't have truth. You have a bunch of lies, and you have deception, and you have feel good, and you have emotions, and you have all these things. But this is the problem with our churches. Christ is not the center of our churches, and so we don't have these things. The next statement he says, he hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Now, this is very deep. So what he's saying is Christ has the key and no man can open or shut. He has the key of David, meaning the key of the king. When he's saying David here, he's just speaking of king, and he's saying the key of the king. Now, this is direct contrast to Isaiah 22, where it talked about Hilkiah. Hilkiah had the power to control the entry into the kingdom. And, you know, him being a king's steward, he could decide who could have access to the king or who could enter in and see the king. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, I'm the one with the keys. I have the keys of David, meaning I have the key to allow those to see God or to get to God. I have that key. This is very powerful because this is telling us that Christ is the only one that can grant access to God. Now, we got all these crazy gods and everybody's worshiping their own God. I remember even on the Michael Jackson memorial, seemed like every brother that got up quoted a different god. One of them, we thank Allah, Michael's with Allah. The next one, we thank Krishna, Michael's with Krishna. And I mean, they were just saying everything Jesus, and they put Michael everywhere. Michael's in 1,000 pieces because they trying to send him to every god that he claimed during his lifetime. And this is very sad, and it's sad that I'm getting emails, people, well, Michael Jackson was a Christian and Andre Crouch led him to Christ. And that is such a shame, because Andre Crouch openly admitted that he never led Michael Jackson to Christ. Michael Jackson wanted him to come and pray for the success of his tour. And he not only had him, but he had all the other gods. He had Deepak Chopra in there, the guy who doesn't believe there is a heaven and a hell, and he invited him, and he came and prayed. And, you know, you have the gay preachers and all of these things that Michael was into, all this crazy stuff. I mean, Michael was spread all over the place because of all this false god worship. Well, this is a dilemma in America because we have so much of it. Everybody's choosing their own gods. And the saddest part is, even those that say that they're of the household of faith, that have chosen Christ, they have other gods in their lives. They're going to the neo soul concerts where the songs by Erykah Badu and different ones are consistent of false god worship. And they listen to Jill Scott and these other artists that profess other gods or profess Allah as God. They're listening to hip hop where hip hop rests upon the teachings of Allah, believing that you are a god. I mean, Beyonce just had a concert here in town, and all kinds of so-called Christians were up in there to see her shake her behind. And it's hard to believe that married couples in their 40s going to see Beyonce up there singing, you know, with her seductive Sasha routine, that whole demonic thing, which, you know, I hope you guys get to come out September the 18th to hear part 5. I'm going to deal with some of the things about her in the Truth Behind Hip Hop part 5. It's just possessed, and she's up there being sexy and selling sex and all this stuff. And you got so-called Christians piling in just to hear this and see this. Why? Because there are other gods in their life. God is not the true God. But if you want access to God, you have to go through Jesus Christ. Christ tells us what God you serve. Put it like that. Holiness, like we spoke of in the beginning, comes from Christ because he is holy. So you can tell when somebody is getting to the true and living God because they will live holy because Christ is holy and Christ is the key. He's saying here, I have the keys to the kingdom. I have the key to the throne. You will not get to the throne. You won't have access to the king, just like Hilkiah. You will not have access to the king without me because I am the key to get you there. He's saying, I'm the one that can open that door. I'm the one that can shut that door, and no man can open it if I shut it. You know, we're seeing these bumper stickers with all the different signs, and the gay sign next to the cross, and they've got the Islam sign next to the cross, and, you know, all this merging of the false gods we talked about even in the beginning of this broadcast several weeks ago. We know that Christ is the only way to get to God. And without Jesus Christ, you don't get to the true and living God. In 3:8, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So I love this because he said, I'm setting an open door to the kingdom right before you. He's telling this church, because you've been faithful, because you are holy, you have an open door policy. So the church at Philadelphia, because of their concern for their fellow man, because of their love for one another, because they pleased God, they had an open door policy. And they said, no man can shut it because you have not denied my name. This goes back to the false god worshiping. Many of us, y'all, please hear this right here. Many of us, we're suffering financially. We're suffering physically. We're suffering spiritually. We suffer because we don't have the true blessings of God upon our life. That's because the windows of heaven have been shut. The doors have been shut because Christ is not being utilized as the key. So you can't come to church and fake it and fake it and then try to pray. So you got to understand, a lot of these folks that are up preaching in different things and that are just faking it to make it and taking your money and taking your tithes and offering, and they have no relationship with God. You know, that stuff works above ground. But when you hit your knees and you try to pray, if you don't know Christ, you have no access to God. You don't have the open door policy. So you can pay your tithes and give money to these foolish men and give money to these foolish churches all you want. But understand, if you give in to foolishness without Christ, the principle does not work. You gotta have Christ to have the open door policy. You have to have Christ to receive the true blessings and favor of Christ. So he's telling the church of Philadelphia, because you're faithful, because you're a wonderful church, because you're obedient, because you love your brothers, I'm gonna give you an open door policy where no man can close this door and you will be blessed. because you have not denied my name. You have kept my word and has not denied my name. That's very important. Let's talk about the city of Philadelphia where this church was. This is going to give us some insight into this whole open door thing and this idea that we're talking about. Philadelphia comes from two Greek words, philio, which means love, and adelphos, which means brother. And this is the love and concern that they had for their fellow man, which is very important to understand. This is why the city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania is called the city of brotherly love, because the name Philadelphia means brotherly love. And I hate that they even use that name to describe that old gay movie that Tom Hanks played in, where he played the homosexual dying of AIDS and that kind of thing. And they wanted to make it look like, well, if you really, really love your brother, you know, you love the homosexual and all of that. And we don't have a problem loving our brother as far as a homosexual. But if you love your brother, you will not watch them die without trying to offer them an answer. And that is our problem now. You know, homosexuals want to be accepted, but they don't want the answer. They don't want to accept the answer. You know, people tell me all the time, don't you feel sorry for Michael Jackson? You just dogging him out. You should feel sorry for him. I say, well, you know what? Michael Jackson had an opportunity to choose what he chose. He chose fame. He chose the lifestyle of a rock star. He chose to be famous. And I don't care what his father did. I don't care what he's been through. That's what he chose. Just like me. You know, I've been through stuff. You've been through stuff. People listening to me, you've been through different things, but because you chose the answer, you did not have to succumb to the cares of this life weighing you down and ultimately destroying you. The cares of this life can never destroy us because God tells us in his word that Jesus has conquered the world. He's overcome the world, and because we accept him, we can overcome the world. So we don't have to be subject to the rules of the world and foolishness, because we live in Christ and Christ lives in us, and we have overcome the world according to the scripture. But when it's talking about the love for your brother, if you truly love your brother, you're going to give them an opportunity to overcome the world. In other words, you're going to present Christ to those that you love. And that's our problem right now. We want to get along with the homosexual. We want to get along with the Satanist. We want to get along with the person here and there. We want to, you know, we're embracing all of these people, but we're not showing them true love. The true love for our brother and our fellow man is to offer them solution and answer, and that answer is Christ. Christ is the answer. I remember that old song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. That is so true. But a lot of times, and please hear me, people of God, we can get so caught up in the cares of this life. These pastors, these lascivious pastors, and I know I mention them every week, and I'm going to keep doing it because this is a true church perspective, and a bunch of them are a bunch of false bishops and pastors that are a bunch of sissies, and you name it, that's what they're into. So I'm going to keep bringing them up. So if you got a problem with that, then maybe you need to wait on another broadcast to listen to. But these guys are controlling the church, and because they're preaching lasciviousness and foolishness and getting us so into ourselves, we're forgetting about our brother. We're forgetting about our fellow man. That's why the gay and homosexual keyboard player can come into church and play for years and nobody will contest his lifestyle. Nobody will question him because the love of God is not there. Nobody will question him because the true love of Christ is not in the midst. They will allow the fornicator. They will allow the adulterer. They will allow these people to rule over the church and to have high positions. Why? Because they don't care. There's no true love for their fellow man. This is not what Philadelphia was. Philadelphia cared. They were concerned about their fellow man. They weren't going to let just anybody come in there. So you have to be concerned about your church to say, you know what? We won't have music if we got to have a gay musician. You know what? If our musician is up in the club playing on Friday and Saturday, then coming playing in church, you know, falling in the door all drunk and stanky, you know, with stamp all on his hand, we're just not going to have any music. You know why pastors say that? Because they love their fellow man. They love the members. They love the people, and they want to protect them and say, you know what? I'm not having these spirits floating up in my church. I'm not having the spirit of lasciviousness and foolishness governing my music department. And I'm not going to have a choir full of hoes and hookers and gays and punks. And I'm not going to do that. Well, when a pastor makes those decisions, he's making a decision based on his love for his fellow man. You got to understand, if you love someone, you'll tell them the truth. This is why Christ started this whole letter out saying that he is holy and he is true. If you really love your fellow man, you're going to tell them the truth. And that's what we do here at EX Ministries and True Church Perspective. People get mad because we tell the truth, but we're going to tell the truth because we love you. We want to see you make it. We want to see you prosper. We don't want to see you hindered by foolish mistakes and foolish error. We don't want to see you on your way to hell. And there are so many answers that can keep you from being in hell. So if we're going to really love our brethren, like the church at Philadelphia, the true love of your brother is to tell them the truth, to rescue them out of their sin, to help them. You know, when Andre Crouch spoke about Michael Jackson and saying Michael Jackson just wanted us to pray for his tour, and Andre Crouch said, I pray for the success of his tour, that is demonic. Andre Crouch, what are you doing? For a man to write such great songs, you got to be insane. Why would you even sit in front of a man who has turned himself into a woman, a life is just messed up, who's into Satanism, witchcraft, mysticism, all the stuff that Michael Jackson was in, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but he was into all kinds of spiritualism just to remain the king of pop. Then you got the pedophilia and all of these different things that are attached to his name, and you're going to stand there and pray for the success of this man's tour? Why aren't you praying for his soul and saying, look, Michael, I can't pray for no success of your tour because I don't want your tour to be successful. I don't want you grabbing your crotch in front of millions of people. You know what I want you to do? I want you to give your life to the Lord. That way you don't have to walk around wearing this makeup and all this hair looking just like a woman. You don't have to walk around with a complex because of what your daddy said. You can change daddies. The God of all gods can become your father, and you can be rescued out of this lifestyle that you're living in. You don't have to die an early death because you sought yourself all your life. But right now you can deny yourself and come to Christ. That's the message I would have preached to Michael Jackson. I don't understand that mentality. Even Paula White praying for the success of Tyra Banks, her life coach and all that. I don't understand this stuff because there's only one message you preach to the sinner man. There's only one message you preach to those that are not in Christ, and that is the message of salvation. If God has given you the key, just like this church in Philadelphia, and you have the key to open the door, you have an open door policy, then you use that door to bring people into the kingdom. You don't go get in their kingdom and become a member of their kingdom. No, you bring them into God's kingdom. But see, we're talking about people that love themselves. We're talking about people that love their fame and their fortune and love the way they look. You can tell that by all the face lifts and modifications they're doing. They're caring about the way they look and their appearance and who's going to think that they are something. But we know the key to coming to God in this lifetime is to first deny yourself. You can't take up your cross until you deny yourself. And this is what this church at Philadelphia was all about. I know I'm running out of time, but I want to make sure I deal with this because this is the church that God loved. This is the church that he gave the keys to, the open door policy that no man can shut. Why? Because Christ remained the focus of this church. These people were concerned about their fellow man. They were concerned about their brethren. They were concerned about those that were in need. Am I saying that you don't allow the homosexual in your church and you don't allow the pedophile in your church and all this? No, I'm not saying that. They can come to a service. Yeah, you can come to a service and you can make a decision for Christ. But God forbid you set up camp, you set up shop, and you pop a tent and make your home my church, and you are a pedophile and I got all these children running around here, or you make your home my church and you homosexual and think you're going to get on the organ or the keyboard. God forbid that, because you're not going to be in leadership with that lifestyle. You're not going to even be a member of my church. You know, I don't even understand how these pastors are accepting members and these members aren't accepting Christ. You know, Christianity is just about the only organization where this is going on. You know, to be a Freemason, you got to pledge the creed of the Freemasons. To be AKA, to be Kappa, Alpha, Psi, and all these different fraternities and sororities, boy, you got to do all kinds of stuff. You got to get all on the street, sometimes naked. You got to kiss the same sex, and you got to do all this old foolishness that they make you do that they call hazing. And then after that, you got to take an oath to a false god to get in these organizations, and not just those organizations, any organization. You got to believe what the organization stands for in order to be an organization. Am I right? There's almost an obstacle course you have to go through to prove that you are in the same belief belief system with those in the organization. Well, how do you expect to be a part of Christ's church and you not saved? How do you join a church as a sinner? You're not even a part of the household of faith. Don't you know the external church is just an external church? The true church is us. It's in us. It's in our body. So how are you going to be a member of a church and you're not saved? Well, it's very important to understand the city of Philadelphia. And I'm running out of time, but let me hit on this right quick. The city of Philadelphia had a selective pass-through. In other words, they were a gatekeeper for the next partnering city, Lydia. So they kept certain things from coming through and they kept certain things coming through. They had the door, the keys to allowing the mail and different things that passed through the city to come through and go to the next city. So they didn't have to let everything in that city. This is what made Philadelphia the powerful church because they were the gatekeepers. They could stop what didn't belong from getting in the church. And this is our problem now with our churches. We're not stopping anything. We want members so bad. When you build these big old monumental churches and different things, you can't have discretion on who comes in there and who can't, because you need them in there to help pay the bills for that church. So you're going to have the homosexual sitting next to the lesbian, sitting next to the pedophile, sitting next to the drunk, sitting next to the drug dealer. And then when it's time to go up before the Lord and offer God praise, you can't even welcome the Spirit of God in there because no holiness is in there. This is why these churches are just dead. It's entertainment, it's fun, but it's dead. Your needs can't get met because the church is dead. That's why you sit going to church and can't get healed. That's why your finances are messed up and they can't get better. That's why your relationship is messed up. Your children are messed up because you're sitting in the church that has fashioned itself after the people, and there is no true Spirit of God there because they got everything in there. They weren't selective in who they allowed to come and worship. Am I saying that we're supposed to select those that join our churches? Yes, we are. That's what a pastor is for. And you don't want a group of people that are going to do harm to other people. If you love your brethren, you're going to protect your brethren. This is what Philadelphia was all about. They did not fashion themselves after the world. They did not chase the money of the world. And they did not allow every and anything into this church. And this is why this church stayed pure. Because if you read the first chapter, and I'm closing, but if you read the first verses of this, you'll see Christ saying he's holy, he's true, he has the key. And then if you read on down, he says this church has the key. So this church modeled Christ. Christ was the key, and they were able to allow in what belonged in, and they could properly model the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That is what is important. So I know I've talked a lot about these different things, but we have to understand if we're going to be a pleasing church, don't just put the church at Philadelphia on the name of your church so that you can have a cute name to reflect, you know, a church in Revelations. No, we don't do that. Be the church at Philadelphia. Be the church of brotherly love. Be the church where you love your brother so much that you're going to say, hey, brother, you need to come out of this lifestyle. You need to stop doing this. This is going to hurt you in the end. Brother, I'm just trying to show you the true way. Don't live that homosexual or lesbian lifestyle. You're going to end up in hell, but not just hell after you die, but you're going to have hell here on earth. This is very powerful. We'll continue with Philadelphia next week, but I just want you to understand we can never get away from that love. We have to keep loving our brother so that Christ can be pleased with us, open the door for us. No man can shut that door. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Father God, for giving us these examples of these churches, Father, these churches that we need to model ourselves after, the churches that we don't need to model ourselves after, the things we should embrace, the things we should avoid. Father, I thank you because your word is true. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your word. And I believe, Father, that there are many that are hearing it that are understanding that you have a standard. And even though the world standards are going down, God, your standard never changes. You want us holy. You want us true, just like you. And we'll be that church if we allow you to be the center of it. So, Father, I ask, God, that you will show yourself to your people. And, Father, give us the keys that you have as we accept you in our churches once again. Father, that pastor that may have gone astray, Father, those members that may have gone astray, Father, whatever the cares of this life have done to them, God, I pray right now that you will rescue them, give them the way, let them be concerned, refocus us on our brethren so we can fall in love with the opportunity to share you with brothers and sisters and those that are not of the household of faith and winning those over that need to be won and those that have problems. God, it may not be a Michael Jackson size problem, but whatever problem they have, we know you are the solution and we want to offer you to them as true love for our fellow man and our brethren. We don't want to get away from that. So refocus us on that, God, so we can love our brother enough to tell him the truth and live a holy life before him. Father, I just thank you for this word in Jesus' name. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
Thank you for joining us for a True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.